Welcome to the Outsource Accelerator podcast. This is a short format podcast where we explore business and outsourcing mastery. My name is Derek Gallimore, and I am really excited to bring you the leading podcast in outsourcing. Welcome back, everybody. This is episode number 241. Today, I'm talking to Brian Lockyer of Direct Sourcing Solutions. Brian has been doing business and coming to the Philippines for about 12 years now, which in Philippine years is a really long time. He's been working out of Clark, which is a satellite city of Manila, and certainly, you know, this city and even Manila has really gone through massive changes over the last 12 years, and certainly as has the outsourcing industry. So it's really good to have a chat to Brian about this and his own evolution within business and outsourcing, of course. So I really enjoyed this conversation, and I'm sure you will too. If you want any of the show notes, then go to outsourceaccelerator.com/241. Enjoy. Hi, and welcome back, everybody. Today I'm joined by Brian Lockyer. Hi, Brian. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Thanks, Derek.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. And you are the founder and now managing director of Direct Sourcing Solutions, or DSS, and it's an outsourcing supplier based in Clark. But I'm super happy to have you on the line here because you've got vast experience in the Philippines and in various aspects of outsourcing and IT outsourcing. So really happy to tap into your experience here. And I suppose I should just mention initially that you are you're based in New Zealand, which is where I was actually brought up. So it's a bit of a homecoming conversation maybe. But so welcome. Welcome, Brian.
Well, thanks very much, Derek. Yep, and you're right. So I've had businesses in the Philippines for well over 12 years now, three different businesses, but all really focusing me down that path of outsourcing or BPO. Mm.
What initially brought you to the Philippines? Because, you know, I've been here maybe on and off since about 2011, and it's really come a long way. I know that when you started coming over here 12 years ago, there was probably a lot less going for it than there is now. What was your initial impetus for coming here?
Well, so I had a business in Hong Kong, and we were delivering payroll software, and we actually were struggling with recruiting enough software developers. One of my clients actually had a back office in the Philippines and had encouraged me to come over and have a look at what they were doing, and offered to park some people in his office for me. So that's really where it started. And I think I made my first trip to Clark in 2003 via Manila, via a private plane to bring me up to Clark. It was quite a long ordeal to get here. But a great place, and I could see its potential back then, although you're right, it was very sleepy.
Wow. And just for context, quiet. Clark is like the now new big hub. It's about an hour or 2 hours, depending on traffic, just outside of Manila. And also was home to a huge U.S. Air Force base, wasn't it, and a massive airport runway. But it's really come a long way in the last 10 years now then.
Yeah, it certainly has. I mean, there's direct flights in there now. They're in the process of building a brand new terminal, which will be, you know, world class. And it's really starting to boom. They have a Clark Global City, which is where our offices are located, which is being developed very similar to BGC, based in Manila.
I didn't realize your offices were in Clark Global City, actually. I'm super excited about that because that's meant to be like a kind of new Singapore. They're certainly kind of slating it to be quite a highly advanced city, yeah? What's your take
on
that?
It is. We're actually the first tenant in those buildings. We're in One West, which overlooks the airport and the runway, and it's right across the road from the Medical City, which is, you know, a large international standard hospital, right on the SETEX. So that's the exit that comes off the NLEX from Manila, and we're very, very happy. Our offices are very similar to what you would expect out of an A-grade office in most parts of Asia or even Australia and New Zealand.
Wow, fantastic. And so what do you do there now then, Brian? You've gone through a few iterations and you've seen Clark grow up. How have you seen the whole outsourcing progress over the last 12 years that you've seen it? Because outsourcing really is only kind of 20, 25 years old, so you've really been kind of riding it for at least half of its life or almost half of its life. How have you seen it evolve?
Well, I certainly saw, 10 or 12 years ago, it was more in the model of a shared service center or an offshore service center where low-cost administration was pushed offshore. But what we're starting to see now is and what most of the people we employ, we would call them, knowledge workers, software developers, business analysts, process analysts. We have a very strong VPMO or virtual project management office, which is running projects for clients around the region. And most of the thoughts, the thinking, the smarts behind are running our office in the Philippines. So I think things have started to migrate from the low-value administration tasks to high-value tasks that would be quite expensive to hire in-country, even if they're available.
Yeah,
so that's the biggest innovation I see.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, the outsourcing is a tale of two cities in a way, isn't it? There's still the massive, high-volume, high-repetition kind of tasks that have been doing by the big boys, but a lot of the smaller medium-sized BPOs now, they're actually catering to the smaller, medium-sized businesses of the world, and they require a lot more engaged, dynamic, professionalized kind of services, yeah, that are just working alongside their staffing. So you're seeing things really climb the skill ladder. A lot of people ask me about the choice of location, whether everyone should come to Manila or whether there's opportunity out in the provinces or satellite cities. How have you found the staff resourcing, the depth of roles and qualifications out in Clark?
I think the talent pool is very good in Clark. There's about 18,000 graduates a year from local universities. What we used to see is a lot of those graduates would migrate towards Manila, looking for the big city and the better opportunities. We pay Manila salaries and we offer them a much lower cost of living and a commute time of might be 10 or 20 minutes. And I think after some time away from home, it's quite a positive and a popular choice to move back when you can make the same money and have a lower cost of living. There's always a demand for good technical talent, but we have relationships with a number of the universities where we bring through graduate programs, etc., which a lot of our competitors are doing as well. I think there are other. So for us, our next, we used to have an office in Manila, which we closed, and our intention now is to move into other satellite areas, potentially into Baguio. We have a large catchment pool around Zambales and Subic area, and then possibly even down towards Dumaguete, which also has a large university population.
And there's big university populations. Yeah, I mean, I think there's about 650,000 graduates per year, so there's certainly a lot of people coming through the system. And how do you find, obviously the graduates need a little bit more warming up than the graduates in New Zealand or Australia or the US, but how do you find the comparison between someone with, maybe 2 or 3 years postgraduate experience in the differing countries? Because even in New Zealand, Australia, the West, you've still really got to kind of well, teach people what they know, yeah, and take them through the process. And so how do you compare and contrast Philippine youth or millennials to the West?
I think that, you know, I mean, we have millennials in our office in Auckland, which is where I am at the moment, and they look very similar in the way they dress and the way they operate. I think that it's important to have structured training programs with graduates as they come on board. However, you know, that being said, our clients are actually finding that graduates can sometimes offer better results than people with 5 or 10 years experience. Now, let me qualify that by saying that that's primarily because they're able to train them in the way they want them to work. And, you know, Philippine resources are very good at following instructions as long as there's a clear path for them. I think possibly, you know, Western graduates are very good at problem solving and thinking outside of the box. But when it comes to delivery, sometimes you don't want millennials thinking outside the box. You want them following instructions and working as a team. And I think that we've had very good results at that.
Right. Yeah. That's a good point, actually, isn't it? Because you actually need to go through maybe 5 or 10 years of training to get your foundations, your disciplines, the kind of true understanding of the thing. And then you can be free to kind of create, can't you? But so maybe, yeah, it's better that people are kind of constricted to within a framework a lot more when they're junior. And as you say, I think the Filipinos, they are more inclined to stick to frameworks, aren't they? They want clear processes. They want, you know, kind of clear tasks to execute, and they feel more secure in those processes, really, don't they?
Yeah, that's right. I'd agree with that.
Okay. And then, so if people, when you get new clients in, as an example, what is the process of the process mapping? Do you generally find that you get new clients and actually it's a bit of an education of the actual client to get what they have in their head and put it down on paper and, you know, kind of map out processes? Or do you find it's equally the onboarding of the staffing? Where do you find sort of most, I suppose, points of friction, but also easy means of success?
Well, we have, I think the whole engagement process and onboarding process of a new client is something that we've spent quite a bit of time on, because it's the area that can be the most problematic. It's very easy to say, hey, we can reduce your costs and handle all of this for you remotely. Oh, it sounds great. But without good interaction with the client, those promises of doing things cheaply or more efficiently can often go out the window very quickly. Mm. And acquiring a client, keeping a client is always cheaper and more effective than just acquiring a new client. So as I mentioned before, we have very strong engagement process. We actually have, we've hired the ex-head of PMO for Cathay Pacific based out of Hong Kong. He was also a senior consultant with Microsoft in Singapore. He's an Australian guy, and he's come on board to really manage that engagement process and make sure that good procedures are put in place with the client and that expectations are well set with the client early on. Most of our clients visit our office on a regular basis or send their teams or parts of their teams down to the on-site location from time to time as well. So the better the engagement, the better the results. Kind of like, you know, how do you fall out of bed because you're not far enough in? It's kind of the same with outsourcing. If you don't really commit to it, then it's very difficult to get a good result.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's about getting those kind of early quick wins, isn't it? Otherwise, I think people are quite eager to find flaws with outsourcing and kind of write it off as a broken solution. But it's fantastic that you get people over to actually see the people and the facilities. Do you notice a step change once people come over? Like, are they, you know, is it sort of a different perspective they have?
I think it works on both sides of the fence. I think they then see the environment that the resources are working in. and have a better appreciation for the opportunities and also the constraints. And it's also good for the resources to actually eye their client, you know, face to face. And that's just the person they can't let down, because they, you know, because somebody was sick or they were late to work or things like that, which can often creep into an outsourcing arrangement. When you just work on the end of a phone, on the end of an email line, you don't have that same connection. So I think it's been really positive on both sides. And, you know, the a little vacation or golfing or, you know, a beach visit or something like that. So there's a lot of benefits on both sides.
Yeah, absolutely. And Clark has some fantastic golf courses, doesn't it? It's quite well known for them, actually.
More than happy to invite you up at some stage.
Yeah, absolutely. And so then we're going to round off here, but if, you know, if you obviously see a lot of clients come through, and if any of them, if you give anyone advice in terms of how to really nail outsourcing, is there sort of two or three key aspects you often tell people to help them along their journey?
I think a key thing for me is having some structure around the engagement. So that's not the pricing schedule or the resource list. That is a clear definition of the work tasks and the KPIs that are going to drive success out of the relationship. So I think that's a key one. And then I would also encourage potential clients to be looking at the culture that's driven in the organization. Is it a happy place to work? Is it a place that values their resources and provides a higher than basic standard of reward? And that's not necessarily just salary. It's about how they treat them with private benefits, how they treat them with staff activities. Philippine workers are very family oriented, and if that is not incorporated somehow in the work relationship, there can be a major turnover issues. So
absolutely,
those are probably the two things I would look at.
Yeah, no, it's so important, isn't it? Because people, I think, you know, with outsourcing, people can forget that there's kind of a human behind the monitor, and it's important to remind people that it's still people in the Philippines, and they have career aspirations and you know, a lot of the similar aspirations that anyone does in any country. So that it's important.
Absolutely.
To remind people, isn't it? Great. Thank you so much, Brian. And if anyone wants to contact you, and I want to get you back so that we can deep dive into what Direct Sourcing Solutions is and DSS, and, you know, specifically where your value proposition is for people. But if people want to get in touch with you in the meantime, how can they do that?
Well, they can have a look at the website, which is just dss.asia. Or send me an email on Brian, which is Bryan at dss.asia.
Amazing. Thanks, Brian. Okay, that was Brian Lockyer of Direct Sourcing Solutions. If you want to get in touch with Brian or learn any more about anything we discuss in this podcast, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/241. And as always, if you want to ask us a question, just send us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.